I'm going to read these first 10 verses and talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage supper of the Lamb. And after these things, I, John, Revelation 19, after these things, I heard a voice, a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh my. Oh, what a blessed, blessed thing we just read. All through Chapter 18, it was woe, woe, woe. Judgment. We saw the judgment of God. And the fall of Babylon. Oh, how she fell. That great harlot. The Antichrist world. And then when she fell, that great harlot that was dressed in scarlet and rode on that scarlet beast, and all those that was made their living by her, the kings, oh, how they lamented. And then all the merchants, they lamented. They said, oh my, what are we going to do about our silver and our gold and our slaves and our ivory and all the things that we buy and sell? What are we going to do with all of them? Then we've seen all the seamen, you know, they lamented. Oh my, they lamented. Because they said, you know, our ships ain't going to carry anything anymore. And they lamented and said, woe, 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 because of the fall of Babylon. And now we have 4 hallelujahs. And you know where they're shouting hallelujah at? In heaven. We shout hallelujah down here every once in a while. But they say it up in heaven. And I tell you what, this is the rejoicing of the saints and the angels and the cherubims. And the reason they're rejoicing is because of the marriage of the Lamb. You know, our Lord talked a couple of times about a king. A man made a great supper for his king, for his son, the king. And he invited everybody to come. But everybody began to make excuses. You know, I've all the excuses, you know, I've told you all the excuses that they had. And then he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I'm going to have some people come here and worship my son. I'm going to have him come here and worship my son. He said, you go out and you find everybody that's blind, that's poor, that's hungry, that's lame, and that's in need, and you find them. You go find them. And when you find them, you bring them and set them down at my table. And that's what he did. And that's exactly what he said. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then another time, it talks about all the virgins that arose and went out forth to meet their bridegroom. You know, the 10 virgins, 5 of them wise, 5 of them were foolish. But they went out to meet the groom. And I tell you, they're rejoicing in heaven, and they have all these hallelujahs because of the marriage of the Lamb. And I tell you, heaven rejoices over God's victory over Babylon. You know, it says up there in verse 20 of chapter 18. Look at that real quick. Now, this is where we pick up. After Babylon had been overthrown, just been cast down into the sea with a millstone around her. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Vengeance belongs unto me, saith the Lord. And I tell you what, heaven rejoices over the victory of God over Babylon, over this world and all the Antichrist world that's in it. And it says in there in verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19, after these things, after all these woes and lamentations, after Babylon fell, after these things I heard a great voice, and listen to this, of much people. There's a whole bunch of people together. I heard a great voice of much, much people. And what do they say? They're rejoicing because they are among the called. They're the one answering that call. Rejoice over her. And listen, this is what they said. Hallelujah. That word hallelujah means praise. Praise God. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. That's exactly what it means. Praise Jehovah. Praise God. And listen, they said, hallelujah unto God. Praise God, first of all, for his salvation. We're here because of his salvation. We shout hallelujah because of his salvation. Salvation's of the Lord from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end. And then it says this, and glory, salvation and glory. Oh my, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And then honor him, bless him, praise him, and power, all power belongs, and power belongs unto the Lord our God. Now that's just exactly what the Bible says from Alpha to Omega. It starts out with God said in the beginning, God. And then it says that we own that God saved us. God gets all the glory for it. He gets all the honor for it. And he did it by his power. And so we ascribe everything unto him. That's what they're talking about. And all the people did that. And all by unto the Lord our God. No wonder the psalmist said, happy, joyful, blessed are the people is the God of Jacob, who God loves. And I tell you what, the Lord's our shepherd, and we shall not want. And then look what he said in verse 2. Then they praised him for his justice in judgment. For true and righteous are his judgments. You know, that's one thing that folks just can't hardly bear, to say that God is true and righteous in his judgments. And I've told you all this, that there's not no judgment that God's brought on the world that brought anybody to Christ. All these floods that's been happening. Oh, they had it in the south. They had it in the north. And how many people have been killed? I don't know. How many homes destroyed? I don't know. How many buildings destroyed? I don't know. But do you ever find anybody that come to Christ through any of those things? And that's why I said righteous. God, you're righteous in your judgment. You're the judge of all the earth. And everything you do is right. And when you judge, when you bring judgment, you're right and true in your judgments. When you judge Sodom and Gomorrah, you're right. When you judge America, you're right. When you judge my home and my children, you're right. When you put people in hell, you're right. When you disturb the world with a flood, you're right. Your judgments are true. And I tell you what, and that this is the thing about it, God's judgment is everywhere we look. These things that happen, they're not just something that happens because of Mother Nature. And then the people are so audacious and so arrogant and so presumptive, they think that they, because of heat and because of floods and because of tornadoes and hurricanes, they honestly think that they can change the climate and change how the weather is going to affect this world. Now, how stupid can you be to think that you're going to change how the weather is? And I tell you what, you go down, you go to any of these places, and I tell you, people ought to help them. They need help. But I tell you what, they need more than anything. They need a gospel preacher to tell them, and then they can have dealt with it in the right way and say, God, you're right. You took my house, you're right. You took my child, you're right. You took my business, you're right. You loved Jacob and you hated Esau, you're right. You chose Jacob, passed by Esau, passed by Ishmael, you're right. God, everything you do is right. You judge all you want to judge. And I bless His holy name that I've already bore the judgment of God. What He does in this world is His business. I know this, that He's already judged His people. You know where He judged them at? Like man prayed. At the throne of God's justice. When Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree, God judged Him. God punished Him. God's wrath came out on Him. And no matter what happens to us in this world, we're ready to leave this world, and no matter what God does. Because Christ done bore our judgment. And because Christ bore our judgment, we can look to God and trust God and let Him do what He will with us in this world. Ain't that right? We'll just get up and kiss the hand of God's providence. That's all we can do. Huh? Ain't that right? People, listen, it is absolutely the most absurd thing in this world for people to think, well, we just need to change the climate. And we can change what happens. What are they going to do to change the climate? Listen, I'll get in my pocket and take out $10 billion. Well, good grief. You think money's going to stop tornadoes and hurricanes and floods? How stupid. I mean, listen. And that's the people's governing our world. No wonder they rejoice that Babylon's fallen. No wonder they rejoice that this thing's done over with. And when we leave this world, we'll rejoice in it. And that's what we're going to say when we get there. Righteous and true are your judgment, because you saved us. You get all the glory, you get all the honor, and you get all the power. Huh? Oh my. I want you to look at a verse of scripture. You keep Revelation there. Look over here with me. I think it's in Deuteronomy, 5th book of the Bible. Look here in chapter 32. Look what God says over here about things. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 43. And you know, and what God's doing is He's avenging His people, avenging His Son, avenging what's been done to His people on this earth. Look what it said here in verse 43, Deuteronomy, talking about the rejoicing. Rejoice, O ye nations, with His people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants, and will render vengeance to His adversaries, and will be merciful unto His land and to His people. That's what happened here. He showed us mercy, judgments to them. Now let's look here now. And that's what God did. He says there in verse 2, true and righteous are your judgments, for He has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and listen to this, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. Huh? Oh, and then again, verse 3, He said, and again they said, hallelujah. Praise God again. They said, well, praise Him. Praise Him again. He's brought vengeance for us. He's avenged us. And look what He said. And her smoke rose up forever and ever and ever. You know, we won't know anything about that smoke, but God says it's going to send up the smoke. You know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in the plains, they seen the smoke coming up. Smoke just coming up everywhere. Fire and brimstone spell. Destroyed all that. And this smoke was coming up. All that smoke from all them cities. Well, that's where it's going to be her. Just going to come up, 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 up. Never stop burning. Always burning. Eternal fire. Eternal flame. And she's going to be there. And I tell you what. When we praise God. When we bless His holy name. You know what's the greatest effective way of praying is first of all to praise Him. You want victory over what's going on in your life, and we got victory in Christ. But I'm telling you, when you're down, when you're tried, when you're troubled, when the day's dark and things are going, you're just dismayed, you're depressed, you're despaired, you're very troubled, you're discouraged. I tell you what you do. You start praising Him. Just start praising Him. Don't start telling Him all your troubles. He knows your troubles. He sent them to you. Just start praising Him and blessing His holy name. And you know what will happen? Start praising Him for what He has done. Because what He has done, that's what He's going to do. Ain't that right? Has He not never saved us from our trials yet? And that, you know, start out praising Him. And after a while, you'll be happy. You'll be joyful. You'll be blessing God, and you'll say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. And I tell you what, and all your troubles and your darkness and your heartaches and your heaviness will just go away. Try it. Try it. That's what they've done here. And then look at the harmony of the saints and angels in heaven. Look there in verse 4 and 5. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Hallelujah. Another hallelujah. Oh my, I said it once, said it twice. Now I praise God again. And I tell you what they do. These are the 24 elders. That represents the whole church, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, the apostles and the patriarchs. And I tell you, they fell down and worshiped God. Oh my, fell down. And where'd they fall down at? Before the throne. Huh? This is the only place we'll ever really truly see the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said it like this. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Do you know what it is to say, I saw the Lord? I saw the Lord. Do you know where he saw him at? Sitting on a throne. And that's when you know where you and I see him at? Sitting on his throne. We don't actually see him, but by faith we see him sitting on his throne. He's ruling, he's reigning, he's interceding for us. And he got to that throne by way of a bloody, bloody, bloody tree. And now he sits there. And I tell you what, they all fall down and before that throne. And they say, listen to this. And they said, and on the throne said, Amen. You know what that means? Let it be so. It is true. It's so. Let it be. That's the way it is. And then they said, and hallelujah again. Praise his name. Praise his name. Now look what else John hears next. He heard a single voice there in verse 5 now. One voice, not a voice of much people. And he said, and a voice came out of the throne. Just one voice came out of the throne. Praise our God. A single voice. Praise our God, all ye his servants. Oh, bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. A bond slave, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Christ tells us here. He said, oh my, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, ye that understand what he's like. And listen to this, both small and great. That means the lowest to the highest. Our Lord said, among the prophets, nobody's been greater than John the Baptist. And you just read there where John said, I'm nobody.
said, he's somebody, I'm nobody. He's everything, I'm nothing. I'm just a boy, that's all I am. And I tell you, from the lowest, you know, old Lazarus, there's another fellow named Lazarus sitting at the rich man's gate. He's poor, and he was poor, and he had sores on him, and dogs would come along and lick the sores on him. And he's sitting at that rich man's gate, hoping when that rich man come by, if he had anything left from supper or dinner or something, he'd drop him off a little, but he never did. But you know what the scripture says? They come and took him to Abraham's bosom. That's the list. And then there's the Apostle Paul. Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Greatly, greatly used of God. Raised the dead even. He gonna be there. And you know what? You know what makes us all the same when we get there? Christ. Both small and great. Come on. Worship the Lord. Oh my. Bless his holy name. Nobody's. A bunch of nobody's gonna be there. There's people that's there now that people don't even remember their name, never would remember theirs on this earth. One of these days I'm going to be gone, and my son's going to be gone, my grandson's going to be gone. There ain't going to be nobody on this earth left to remember who we were. But that don't matter. Like I told you this morning, he said, I saw you, I looked on you, and you became mine. Oh my. Oh, this is the beginning. Look what they said now. Oh, I heard that voice come out of the throne. All you servants, fear him, both small and great. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then look what happens in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice again of a great multitude, of a great bunch of people, much people. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunders, I mean, it was loud, 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 water running over, voices, thunder going. And what was this? This is the beginning. Look what they said. Thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This is the beginning of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The song that they sang at a marriage. The chorus was large. It says the voice of a great multitude. And it was loud like water and thunder. And then he says, oh, God's greatly to be praised. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's omnipotent. He is God. He is God. I tell you something, fearful in praises. You know, down here we have discord. We have discord down here. And no, as long as we're in this body, there's going to be discord. But boy, when we get to glory, pure, perfect unity and melody. Oh, what melody. Job said it like this. He said, when the stars clap for joy and the sons of God begin to sing, this is where it's happening. The sons of God begin to sing and the song and the stars begin to clap. Oh my, what a perfect melody. Praise Jehovah, for God, the Lord God, omnipotent. He reigns. He reigns. Always has, and he always will. He'll still be reigning when we're there. And then in verse 7, look what he said. Why are they blessing God in this way? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The Lord omnipotent that reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Oh, and listen to this. And his wife has made herself ready. I've had a lot of weddings. Yours was a big one. Back in October. Long time ago. They had a big one. Oh, I tell you. I had a little one. But oh my, here the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, the bride, she's dressed for the occasion. Babylon's not, they're not like Babylon. They wasn't gaudy in their dress. Wasn't dressed in gold and gaudiness or nothing like that. Oh no. No. John asked this question when he saw a bunch of people standing there in their white robes. He said, where'd these people come from? Because they had these beautiful white robes on. He said, where'd these people come from? They come out of great tribulation and washed their robes white. White in the blood of the Lamb. How do you make something white washing it in blood? God does. God does. And oh, the bride is ready. There's those virgins awoke and said, oh, we got to go out and meet the bridegroom. Meet the bridegroom. And they exhort one another to rejoice and be glad, give honor. Honor to him. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. Give honor to him, not the bride. He's the one gets to. The groom is the one they go to meet. The groom was, in the scriptures, the groom was the one that had all the attention given to him. And I tell you, it was given to her that she should be clothed. Look what it said in verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed. Now I want you to notice that given to her. Was granted to her. Given to her. She didn't make this dress herself. She didn't have to go buy it. She didn't have to go and get be fitted for it. You know, and lose a bunch of weight to get into it. No. She just, you know, that I, God said, I want to dress up my bride. I'm going to dress her up. What are you going to put her in? I'm going to put her in fine linen. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know, we have, in the scriptures, we have a lot talked about marriage. And just like Joseph and Mary, they were betrothed. That means they were engaged. And in a Jewish marriage, there was a betrothal. And what that means is that they got engaged. And a lot of times they fixed the marriages. And they were betrothed. That means they was engaged. And then they would go before witnesses. They'd have witnesses. Now this man here is going to marry this woman. And this man's going to take this woman. She's going to marry this woman here. And they got to do it in front of witnesses. And then they'll say, God bless this union. Please bless this union. And bless this, pronounce blessings upon the union. And they're not, from that day, as far as the law is concerned, they're legally married, though they're not joined together yet. You know, that's why Paul said, I present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Between the time that they're betrothed and the time that they're actually married, there's a difference of time. It's like being engaged and then having the marriage. And I tell you what, and then when they had the wedding, they had a great feast that went with the wedding. That's why when our Lord went to the wedding, he turned the water into wine. That's because they'll have a feast for 7 days, sometimes a whole week. And then when it comes time for them to be wed, the groom has to pay a dowry to the father. He has to give him something for the bride. It's like Jacob, you know, he served 14 years as a servant. 14 years, I'm just holding up 10 hands, that's all, you know. I ain't got 14, but I got 10. 10, 4. 14 years. So he'd have one woman. And he loved her. Jacob came through her. And he served her for 14 years just to get to marry her. And then there comes the procession. The bride prepares and adorns herself. The groom comes in dressed in his best. And all of his friends come in with him. And he receives his bride and takes her home. And then they have this great feast and they have a big marriage supper. And like I said, it can last up to 7 days. Well, from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her. And for his life, for her life, he died. Oh, the interval between the separation of the groom and the bride is over. Right here. It's over. Oh, listen, you know when Christ got his bride? Chose her from eternity. He said, I've got a bride. I've got a people. And he chose that bride from eternity. It's like when Abraham sent his servant there and said, go get a bride for my son Isaac. And you go to a certain place and you deal with a certain people. And when you get down there, you tell him what he has. And all that servant did was talk about Abraham and everything that Abraham had, his son had. He's the heir of everything. And he began to take out all the things that he had and all the jewelry and all the gold and all the silver and all the clothes. And she said, will you go with this man? I'm going to go. And that's what happened here. Christ chose us. And he said in this announcement, it was all the way through the Old Testament. The groom's coming. He's coming for a bride. And so he came and he assumed our nature. And that's when the betrothal took place. And then he had to pay a dowry to his father. And he paid the dowry. He paid the dowry at the cross. He paid it with his own blood, with his own life. And then that interval between when the bride and the husband come together, the bride and the groom, it's over. He's come back to get his bride. And now we're going to have a big supper. A marriage supper. Huh? Oh my. He's come to get his bride. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have to go to this great, wonderful supper. And oh, that's what it says about that there. And he said in verse 9, oh my, the wife made herself ready. Granted, God gave it to her. White, bright. And he said unto me, write, listen to this now, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh my. You know how you get called to the marriage supper of the Lamb? God effectually calls you. Everybody that's been there and everybody that'll be there, every one of them was effectually called. God didn't say, would you like to? That's what when Eliezer went down there to get a bride for his son, Abraham's son, he never went through town and said, listen, my master has this wonderful son and who wants to be his bride? Anybody here want to be married to him? Or just stand out here and let's see if you can get worthy. No. He went to one place, sat on one woman, and that woman was brought back. Christ came here to buy one bride. One bride. And he bought that bride. He paid for it with his own precious blood. And beloved, then he said, I'm going to have every one of them come to my marriage supper. And I tell you what, everyone that's been called of him, wouldn't it be wonderful if he'd come right there. Well, oh, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, amen. Even so, come quickly. Let's go. I want to sit at that marriage supper. And it ain't no sit at that marriage supper till everybody's there. Can you imagine what a meal is going to be? Oh, they just had manna in the wilderness. Can you imagine what kind of supper Christ is going to put on for us? Oh my. I know one thing. It'll be the best that's ever been in this whole universe. And it'll last a long, 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 long time. What kind of table is it going to take for all of us to sit at? That's how great and glorious our Lord is. That he can sit all his people at one table and feed us all at the same time. What language can we use What language can we use to describe the Lord? There's no language that we can use. There's no words that we can use. There's no words that we can describe it. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves grasp this. All we can do is just say it's true and it's so. And that's why he said, amen, these are the true sayings of God. That's all we can say. Oh, genuine and real. Oh, my. Called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God, the genuine and real sayings of God. Oh, my. And then look what happens. And John said, did this. He said, I fell at his feet to worship him. John is so filled with joy, so overcome with joy and gladness, that he falls at this man, angel, whoever he is, he fell at his feet to worship him. To worship him. That's what Cornelius did when Peter came in. He fell down. Peter said, I'm just a man like you. Get back up. Get up right now. And look what this man said. And he said unto me, don't you do this. Do not do this. He said, why not? I'm a servant too. It may be an angel, but I'm still a servant. I'm a fellow servant. I'm just a fellow servant. You're a servant, I'm a servant. And I'm like your brethren. I'm like all your brethren. And listen, what is it about these brethren? They have the testimony of Jesus. What in the world does that mean? That means that we say there's no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. We're saying that Christ, that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. That salvation, Christ accomplished it. The only way we can come to the Father is through Him, by Him. And we have the testimony of Christ that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father one of these days. But I tell you what, we have the testimony of Christ. I give the testimony of Christ every time I preach here, if I'm able. And you know what? You talked about giving the testimony of Christ up there up on that slope you was telling us about tonight. You tell the testimony of Christ. Testimony of Jesus. Who else is that to testify to? Who else can we say saved us? Who else can we say washed us in His blood? Who else can we say keeps us? Who else can we say we're perfect in and complete in? Oh my. We attribute all our salvation to Him. Oh my. And this scriptures, the Bible, is the testimony of Jesus. The testimony, all from Genesis to Revelation, the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And look what He said. Worship God. So we're just like everybody else. We testify of Christ. And here that's all we talk about. We testify of Him. Testify of who He is and what He did and who He did it for. Worship God. Listen to this. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh my. What is He saying here? All true prophecy, all true preaching, all true things that spoke about Christ. The whole Bible reveals the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it testifies to this, that there's no other Savior that was going to come, no other Savior that did come, and no other Savior that's in glory now. Huh? That's the spirit of prophecy. What did the prophet say? To Him all the prophets give witness. Amen. Oh Lord, our Lord and our God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, blessed be Your name. Praise be unto God. It belongs to God. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our heart. You're worthy of our mind. You're worthy of our very being. And oh Lord, if it's the whole realm of nature, for ours, it's a present way too small.
way too small. Father, thank you for letting us see this tonight, hear this tonight, rejoice in this tonight. That voice said, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come. And Lord, we're glad and we rejoice for Christ who has come, for Christ who will come again and get us. God bless these dear saints. Lord, encourage them, strengthen them, and bless those who weren't able to come today and worship with us. Lord, bless their hearts, bless their bodies, and encourage them, comfort them for Christ's sake. I bless you in His name. Amen. Amen. I tell you, O faithful, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Good night, and God bless you. See you Wednesday, Lord willing.